chapter 12, and we'll read there in just a moment. Tell you one little funny. It's called Stay. I pulled into the crowded parking lot in Super Walmart, rolled down the car window so to make sure that my Labrador Retriever pup had fresh air while I went into shop. She was all stretched full out on the back seat, and I wanted to impress upon her that she's got to remain there. So I walked to the curb backward, pointed my finger at the car, saying emphatically, "Now you stay. Do you hear? Stay, stay." And the driver of a nearby car, a pretty blonde lady, gave me a strange look and said, "Why don't you just put it in park?" All kinds of things happen at Walmart. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's look at verse 7. We'll read a few verses. Chapter 12 and verse 7. "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might be depart from me." And he said, what did he say? "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches and needs, in persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong." Thank God for the Word of God. And we want to welcome all those online that are watching online, live streaming. It's wonderful, the power of technology. There are times when my wife and I were tempted to go to bedside assembly and we could just turn on Calvary, hallelujah. And we didn't have time to drive down into Colorado Springs, and we got to watch Pastor preach the Word of God with power and strength. And so we want to welcome you to the service today. This is a description of what some people describe as Paul's thorn in the flesh. I mean, Paul said there was a thorn, a messenger of Satan, sent to buffet me. But first thing I want you to notice, that whatever it was, whatever the thorn was, it was a messenger of Satan, not of God. Do you hear? We just need to read the Bible. It wasn't a messenger from God. A messenger of Satan is not the same as a messenger of God. Correct theology. God, good. Devil, bad. Real simple theology works for me. The next thing that we see here is that Paul asked God to remove this thorn from his life, whatever it was. We know it was a messenger of Satan. And then we know the next thing we see that God's response was, "I'm not going to remove it from you so you won't have to draw on my grace." He said, I'm not removing things from you that exempt you from drawing on my grace. Did you see that? He's not saying he's not going to see you through the situation. But sometimes we're praying for removal of things that if we just draw on his grace, he'd get us through. Are you listening to me? He's not saying he won't answer our prayers. But sometimes the way we're asking him to answer our prayers is it exempts us from drawing on his grace. We just like James and John. Man, those guys, they're not receiving you, Jesus. Could we just nuke them? Could we just call fire down from heaven and, wow, awesome. I mean, that's the love of God, isn't it? And sometimes, you know, you have someone at work or someone at school or someone here next to you who might be a sandpaper person, rubs you the wrong way. I mean, every time you come to church, here they come. Man, you're saying, Lord, get them out of my life. You know who they are? Don't look on the right or the left and incriminate yourself. But we're praying for God. God, remove them. And Jesus is interceding at the right hand of the Father that you would draw on His grace to manifest Him in that difficult situation. And so many of our prayers are based on the flesh, because the flesh doesn't want to deal with stuff. Are you with me? He's saying, listen, my grace and you living in and drawing on my grace is what will help you navigate through this difficult challenge in your life, Paul. It's not me just changing the circumstances so you don't have to deal with it. I've given you grace to deal with it and to get through it, go over it, around it, however, whatever. But you get victory through it, drawing on His grace, not praying that God changes circumstances, though He does change circumstances, but He's not going to do it if you fail to draw on His grace. Are you with me? That's what He's saying here. It wasn't a messenger of God, okay? And we know that. And then we know that whatever it was, Paul asked God to remove it in him, but God said, I'm not removing something that you fail to draw on my grace to walk through or overcome. Are you listening to me? Then we know that this thorn in the flesh wasn't sickness or disease. If you look at other places in the Bible, Ezekiel 28:24 talks about this. There's other places in the Old Testament talk about these thorns, but there shall no longer be a pricking briar or painful what? Thorn for the house of Israel from among... Now notice where these thorns are from. From among all who are around them who despise them. Then they shall know that I'm the Lord. What was this thorn? What were these thorns? Specifically people around you that buffet you, that despise you, that persecute you, that you don't like, that rub you the wrong way, those that give you a pain in the wrong place. Thank you, Jesus. Paul was asking God to remove those people who were difficult to deal with from his life. God told him instead of doing that, as a reaction to his flesh, that he didn't want, you know, instead of reacting to the flesh and not wanting to deal with them, he told him the way to navigate through these tough situations is by drawing on his grace. Are you hearing me? His grace is what makes you sufficient, competent, adequate to deal with challenging people and challenging situations in life. And I know in my knower that several of you are going through challenging places in life. And some of these things you're praying for God to, you know, remove things and change things and all this, but I want to ask you, what about grace? And that's not just something you say over your meal. What about the grace of God that makes you adequate and competent and overcoming in that situation? Are you hearing me? 2 Corinthians 3 verse 5 says, our sufficiency is of God or from God. And that word simply means our ability or competency. Say, my sufficiency, my ability, my competency, my adequacy is from God. So this means our ability or competency to do a thing, especially a difficult thing. It's from God. You have His adequacy. You have His competency. He's made you adequate. He's made you sufficient. He's made you competent to deal with and overcome difficult situations and people and circumstances and things that look like that it looks like it's going to put you under. Are you listening to me? So what I want to talk to you today about is just simply this: living in grace. Living in grace. What birthed this message in me was how the Lord led me to approach a challenging situation this past week, doing my brother's funeral and dealing with some challenging people in my family tree. You know who they are, don't you? Oh, Jesus. Man, I mean, I love to come to the house of the Lord because sometimes I've been around some of those challenging people. And it just helps me to get my mind right and get tuned right and think right. But man, I get around my family and, oh, Lord, Jesus, save me, please, spare me. And the goofball thinking and the, they don't listen to you because, you know, you're, This is a carpenter, you know. I know Greg, you know. And, man, bite my tongue, over and over again. You know what I'm talking about? But then just thinking about, I mean, this is my brother, my little brother, that my wife and I led to the Lord, and 30 years ago, and I couldn't get him discipled. I did everything I knew to do, and he was on drugs. He was in and out of jail. He was all kinds of problems in his life, and taking advantage of my mom and all kinds of things. I hope my mom's not watching today. If she is, you better not talk to her either. All kinds of things, you know, but we just kept praying and believing God. And about 5 years ago, his life radically made a turn. And then just about a year ago, he got cancer. And man, I tried to get him on the Word, tried to get him to, you know, watch Calvary, watch online, watch Healing School. I couldn't do that, but praise God, he's in heaven. I said he's in heaven. I'm doing the funeral, and I've got to be the pastor, and you know, you have no time yourself to even grieve. You know, and I mean, it's like I'm just kind of. True confessions with you, just because I know we all deal with similar things, but it's like, I want to say, you guys understand, I've got feelings too, and I've got emotions too, but it's like you just say, all right, Lord, all right, they want me to, praise God, I'm at least at the funeral, I'm going to give an altar call. Hallelujah. And I did, man, and a whole bunch of them prayed. I don't know how many of them accepted the Lord, but they prayed. And they heard the gospel. Man, I preached the gospel. Man, I mean, with such clarity. If Marty was here, he'd be telling you, heaven is real. And he'd also be telling you, Jesus is the only way to heaven. There's not many ways. And he'd also be telling you, what are you going to do about it? And boy, then we get, man, threw the net out and pulled it in, and praise God. But you know, I'm telling you, when all that was happening and in different things that were going on that I can't talk about in my family, it was just, I mean, it was challenging emotionally. But I just decided, in spite of all the challenges, I just decided I'm going to step into grace. I'm stepping into your adequacy, Lord, your sufficiency, your strength, your enablement, You know, whatever I don't feel that I can do at this time, I'm stepping into it by grace. And you know what? God showed up powerfully. And like I said, several people were saved. I'm trusting some of my family changed their family tree. Praise God. And you know, the way that He helped, but what I thought about the way that He helped me through that funeral and showed up is the same way He's led me to deal with hundreds, probably thousands of situations in my life. And that's just what I want to share with you. It's by grace. And let me just kind of break it down for you. I'm a teacher, so I want to kind of break it down for you. And I don't want to try to give you a formula. I just want to tell you some of the things that I do to draw on His grace. I didn't feel strength. I didn't feel adequate. I didn't feel competent. I didn't, all of that. But I stepped into His grace. And I'm just going to tell you part of how I do that and give you some examples from the Word and also in my own life. Well, I mean, the first thing I did, I started praying in the Spirit and looking to the Lord. Praise God for the Holy Ghost. Praise God, man, for prayer in the Spirit. I started praying in the Spirit and looking to the Lord until peace ruled my soul. I mean, I just started praying in the Spirit and I was looking to the Lord instead of looking to my inadequacy or I didn't feel up to it and I didn't feel strong and I didn't, you know, all that. I'm not leaning to that. I'm looking to the Lord and I'm leaning into Him. Are you with me? I'm just talking about how to live in grace. And God's taught me this and it works in my life. And I want to impart it to you. Is I didn't feel adequate. I didn't feel competent. I felt emotional. I felt all kinds of things about some family members who were not responding right. And I, instead of yielding to that anger and yielding to, you know, emotions, I just leaned into the Lord and prayed in the Spirit and looked to Him until all of a sudden, Marty, it's like, man, I put on, it was like Clark Kent and Superman, man. I was like, I leaned into Him, prayed in the Spirit. All of a sudden, strength comes. Wisdom comes. Anointing comes. Power comes. Might comes. Man, it's like, whoa, I didn't feel this way, you know, before all this. And I'm not giving you a formula, but I'm just telling you what I do. I pray in the Spirit and I start looking to God. Instead of all these situations, I cast all that on Him and I start leaning into Him. And I'm, man, the power of God comes. Are you listening to me? Then the second part of what I do to draw on His grace. Remember, God wasn't saying, I'm not going to see you through this situation, Paul. But I'm not. What He's saying is, I'm not going to change circumstances that exempt you from drawing on My grace. It's My grace is going to see you through. You draw My grace and you'll find the way out and you'll find the way over. You'll find the way through. You'll find the way to overcome. That's simply what He's saying. He's not saying, no, I'm not answering your prayer, Paul. Forget it. No, He's just saying, I'm not answering it the way you want me to. That is distinct from what I've given you in My power to draw on. When you feel weak, when you feel inadequate, I want you drawing on My grace, not praying that those circumstances will leave so you don't have to. Does that make sense? That's what He's saying. That's simply what He's saying. He's not saying, I'm not answering your prayers. He's not saying, I'm not going to help you overcome the thorns in the flesh. You know, you're not going to do it in the strength of the flesh. You're going to do it by drawing on My grace. That's what He's saying. And then the next thing I do, I start embracing His Word. I start speaking His Word, meditating on His Word, and acting on His Word. I just embrace the Word. Now, you know, first of all, I find it. I'm praying in the Spirit, reading the Word till I find the Word. Man, there's many times pastor has been the source of, you know, my wife calls me her concordance, but I call, man, pastor's, he's got a word in season. This man has got a word in season. I call him and he's got a word in season for me. And man, I hang on to that word. I start embracing that word. I look for the word in that hour that will see me through. And I grab a hold of that word. I embrace it. I speak it. I meditate on it. And I act on it. I instead of all the other stuff that I'm tempted to do, instead of embracing my feelings, nothing more than feelings. You're just feeling that way about my song right now, aren't you? Instead of the feelings and all the other stuff, the circumstances and what it looks like and what people are saying and where it appears that I don't have his adequacy or I'm not going to have enough to get through and all that. I don't focus on that. If I'm going to draw on his grace, I've got to agree with him. God gives grace to the humble and the humble agree with God. They depend on God and they agree with God. Look, you're not going to draw on God's grace by disagreeing with God that he's not enough. Is he enough for you? Okay, look, how many of y'all married? How many of y'all married? All right, put your hands down. How many husbands are here? Okay, how many of you know you have grace to understand that woman? You heard the funny about the guy that the guy was, man, I'm just, Lord, I want to go to Hawaii. I've had this dream to go to Hawaii, but I'm afraid of flying. And he said, could you build a bridge for me to Hawaii? And man, the Lord said, that's a lot of resources not for you not to deal with your fear. He said, do you have another request? And he said, well, Lord, I'd like to understand my wife. The Lord said, well, you want that a two-lane or a four-lane highway? Just joking. Don't get mad. No arrows, darts coming this way. Okay. But listen, guys, you have grace to draw on the Lord to know how to minister to your spouse. You do. I said, you have grace. Say, I have grace. But so stop agreeing that you don't. Well, I just can't understand my wife. I don't know what she needs. You know, no, man. You believe God. You draw on his grace. Not, you don't disagree with God and receive his grace at the same time. So it doesn't matter whether you're going through a physical challenge, a mental challenge, or relationship challenge, whatever it is, the grace of God that'll get you through and cause you to overcome comes when you just agree with him and you embrace the truth instead of what it looks like, what it seems like, what people are saying, people's opinions, circumstances, all of that. And I'm talking to you about this. I've done this, I know, 1,000 times. When I didn't know what to do, I hadn't had this experience before, and I'm faced with this. What do I do? How do I get through this, Lord? It's by his grace. But see, we can say it's by his grace, but how do you draw on that grace? I'm just telling you how I do it. The first thing I do is, man, I just start praying in the Spirit, and I start looking to God and start leaning into him. The second thing I do is I get a hold of a word from God. My pastor taught me this. You get a hold of a word from God and you I'm on that like a bulldog, man. I'm not letting go of it. I'm holding on to it. I'm speaking it. I'm embracing it. I'm meditating on it. And I'm not focusing on those other things. You know what happens? Grace starts manifesting. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Then the third thing I do is I just start serving and become engaged in blessing other people. And also, I just decided where I'm afraid, I'm just going to get right in the middle of that. I'm not running from it. So I just start serving, I get engaged. I approach the challenge in confidence. Instead of what I'm tempted to do is isolate myself and shirk back in fear. Do you understand? See, God, I don't feel up for it or up to it, but you're in me, so I'm stepping into that instead of shirking back from it. Are you with me? And I just start serving. Instead of being self-absorbed and self-focused, and you know, I just step into it and start serving and loving. And I may not know what to do, but all of a sudden, wisdom starts coming, and stuff starts flowing, and utterance starts happening, and strength, and words start coming. And I mean, but it doesn't happen in my Frady hole. You know what I mean? Backing off here, you know, I'm in prayer. Oh God, I'm in prayer. And I'm hiding out back here somewhere. No, just get engaged, man. Whoever the bully is in your life, get engaged. I've told you the story about the lions and how they catch their prey, didn't I? I've told you that before, but I was over a large African ministry for a time until I got fired. And anyway, so I've been on a couple of safaris and I discovered how lions hunt and their prey, and that lions, especially the male lions, are lazy. Yeah, they don't do anything. They just eat and sleep. And then it's the female lions that hunt. And so, you know, what the older lions, and always almost always the male lions, are they station over here on one side of the pass. And then here's a little valley or a pass that animals like wildebeest or water buffaloes or zebra or gazelles are going to be coming down here. And on this side over here are the young lions. Most of them are female. Okay? And so here come let's say they're gazelles or whatever. And now the older lions, they're not even going to chase. They might just for a little bit. Okay? But all they're going to do is roar. Doesn't that scare you? But they're going to roar. Okay? And what will the prey do then? They'll run right into the jaws of the young lions, the hunter lions, and then the lazy guys come over and they eat first. That's what happens, literally what happens. The Bible says the devil walks about as a what? Roaring lion. So the moral of that story is run toward the roar. I said run toward the roar. Run toward whatever your greatest fear is. Get engaged. Don't back off in your Frady hole. Look, courage is not the absence of fear. It's just the willingness to face your greatest fear. Man, that's powerful there. That'll preach all day long. And so the result 2 days ago now, or when, was it 2 days ago? 2 days ago at my brother's funeral, when I mean, I'm talking about lots of challenges, things I can't even talk about now. But I'm telling you, the presence of God and the grace of God was there. And I started thinking about it. You know what? Man, God's done this for Janice and I all through these years. 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. Your victory is God's opportunity to manifest Christ in that place. And your willingness to draw on His grace diffuses the knowledge of Jesus in a difficult place. People see Jesus in you when you step into grace. And when you determine to live by grace, instead of staying isolated and staying in your fraidy hole, listen, somebody right now is stuck like Chuck. And you're praying for God to deliver you and God to get you out. And Jesus is interceding at the right hand of the Father for you to draw on His grace. Because His grace will cause you to overcome. But you got to get up out of that place of fear and you got to run toward the roar. Amen? Run toward your greatest fear. And you watch and see God's grace will manifest. And when it does, this verse says that the knowledge of Christ will be manifest in a difficult situation. That's what God's after. And it wouldn't have happened if you just stayed in your fraidy hole and praying that God will remove the boogeyman from your life. No, He's given you grace to overcome the boogeyman. Are you with me? Whatever your fear is, in every difficult and challenging place, He purposes to manifest Himself through us as we draw on and live in His grace instead of allowing ourselves to become intimidated. That's not what we're about. That's not the people that we are. And God finds no pleasure in those who draw back. He loves us, but He doesn't want it. He loves us enough. He's given us grace that we can move forward and not draw back. Amen. And it's powerful. Jesus, you're going to show up big time in this difficult situation as I trust you. And that's, listen, I'm just telling you, this is the way my wife and I live. When he gives us opportunities and assignments and things, it's like I rarely feel adequate for. But I'm stepping in to your grace, Lord. And you're going to manifest yourself big time through me as I lean into you, pray in the Spirit, look to you, embrace your word, and don't run from this. I'm going to get involved. Listen, Jesus, you're going to come into the scene where it looks like I have no adequacy, no resources, no wisdom, but you know what? I always have it. And so do you. Look at your neighbor, say, I know he's talking to you right now. And He always does come through. Yet it's not like it's not without any hiccups or without any resistance or without any fear. You know, the devil's still going to try to intimidate you off the word and try to convince you. I mean, you know, I don't do a lot of things well, but I do. God has given me a gift to teach, but I still every once in a while have one of these people that come tell me how I should have preached better. And I had one at this funeral. Oh yeah. So you know, I just went on down the road. It's like, man, look, I can't do any better than giving my all. If that's not enough, forget it. So I'm not going to be accepting your correction at this time. But again, this was family, so you understand. Praise God. You know, you want to say, you don't, but you want to say. You want to act in the flesh and you want to say, how many funerals have you preached? But I bit my tongue, okay, and drew on His grace. But you know, the results aren't always, as you draw on His grace, they're not always picture perfect, and the timing of everything is rarely perfect, but that's not the issue. Look, I'm not just after results. I'm after manifesting Jesus. I trust Him with the results. Okay, whether some act like they receive it or not, I'm just drawing on you. Lord, I'm drawing on your grace. I don't care if they pick up stones to throw at me, I'm going to draw on your grace and do what you tell me to do, and I'll walk right through the midst of those stones. Amen? Yeah. First Corinthians 15, verse 10, this is the Apostle Paul. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but what? The grace of God which was with me. The grace of God helps me. The grace of God helps me through every situation, and that's how I work, that's how I labor, that's how I do whatever I do that I don't feel like I can do. I'm stepping into His ability, His anointing, His life, His love, His nature, all these things that in the natural my mind is going tilt, tilt, tilt. You can't do this, you can't say this, you can't, but I do. And then God shows up. Are you with me? Now I've had some challenging times that I'm going to just share a few of these with you where I've had to draw on His grace. I raised four children, and one of them, Dr. Dobson, never met before he wrote The Strong-Willed Child. You know them, don't you? But I'm telling you, my oldest son today is one of the most godly leaders in the kingdom of God. In fact, he's a leader in my family today. You guys have seen him come here. But I mean, that boy, you draw a line and he's going to cross it when he was young. And man, then he went off in a far spiritual country. But I'm telling you, he's a leader today. And it was because we didn't give up. We didn't agree with the devil. We just said, you're not having my son. I promise you right now, devil, you're going to rue the day that you ever came against his life. And he is going to be, every one of my children are going to be speaking with their enemies in the gate, which means they're walking in authority over you. And here's real spiritual warfare. You want to know what it is? It's not just binding the devil, though that's part of it. It's whenever the enemy comes to you with a thought, you know, you're a bad parent, you're a bad mom, you're a bad dad, your kids are going to hell, you know, you're going to be bankrupt, you're going to be broke, you know, all this, you're going to die young and all this stuff. You just say, thank you, Mr. Devil, for coming to my house, and while you're here, let me tell you the way it really is. And you just give him a Bible study. I mean, just thank him. Look, you always know it's the devil whenever it creates doubt, you know, discouragement, fear, confusion, and worry. All those things, that's our condemnation. All those things, that fear, doubt, confusion, discouragement, you know, all those things, they're never from God. So whenever that comes, you just know that's the devil. And so you just give him a good Bible study, and after a while, he'll take off. And we just gave him, every time he came, we answered him with a good Bible study. Now that, all right, yeah, that's true. That's a fact. But let me tell you the truth. We exalt the truth above the fact. Okay, I understand the doctors say that, you know, you've got this or you've got that or your body's this or whatever. I understand. I'm not denying the fact that that's a challenge, but I'm just denying it to have final authority in my life. Are you with me? See, that's real spiritual warfare. Okay, I understand we're dealing with a challenge here, but you are up. You and God are up to the challenge. Yes? Look, you are. I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to all the, you know, saintly saints. I'm talking to you. You are up for the challenge. If you're born again, you are up for the challenge. And all you've got to do is get in this word and then hit the devil back and say, it's written. It's written. It's written again. You do it. Listen, you do it. You can do it. Man, the devil fears and trembles. You getting a hold of this message and just taking it and say, man, you just take the word of God. You are not landing on my pea patch. I got news for you. You are not ruling over my finances. You are not ruling over my body. You are not ruling over my children. You know, they'll come tell you your children got ADHD, PD, ZD, all kinds of stuff they'll try to put on your, that your kids got. Really? What is that? Oh, sounds bad. No, man, you just give him the word. Greater the peace is the peace of my children. Great, man, my children are taught of the Lord, and great is their peace. Man, you start quoting the word and start, man, give the devil back the Word of God, and you run him off every time. You've got grace to do this. You've got to do it. Listen, stop being a baby. Get up, take the bottle out of your mouth. It's great that you call in and have people agree with you in prayer, but we're not going to do all your believing for you. You get up and stand on the authority of the Word, and you drive the devil out of your life, and you watch how you grow in the Spirit when you do that. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Man, it's time for us to grow up and just do what the Word says. And man, so I had, man, I didn't have a role model. My parents were divorced when I was 8 years old. My dad wasn't around. I did not know how to be a good parent. But God showed me and taught me. And man, my children are awesome today. They're better parents to their children than we are to our own. Which, by the way, my oldest, he's going to give us number 11. Hallelujah. They're believing God for a boy. Whatever he is, it is already. So, but I mean, look, there are times I didn't know what to do, but God, you show me what to do.
Yes.
And he does. I know when my wife, God put it in my wife and my heart, we were just barely filled with the Spirit, didn't know a whole lot, but he put it in our heart to start a bus ministry in our church. Our church was about 400 people in Houston, Texas, and Brother Faith Assembly of God, and Happy Darnell was the pastor. And it was a large church, but they only had 25 kids in children's church. And I went out, I asked the pastor if it was okay if I could. I went out and bought a bus out of my business, and we started a bus ministry. And the first Sunday we had 14, the next Sunday we had 25, the third Sunday we brought in 50, and the children's church leader quit. She just quit. I mean, we got 50, now we had 25, now we got 75, and she quit. So, you know what I did? I stepped into children's pastor grace. Are you with me? I didn't know how to be a children's pastor, but I stepped into it. And my wife stepped into children's pastor wife grace. And when God put it in our heart, we had a 100-foot banana split. And she figured out how to do it with rain gutter and aluminum foil. And man, we had the whole newscast out there. I mean, all kinds of things we did, reaching people. You just, you step into God's grace when you don't know what to do.
Absolutely.
When the doctors came to me and told me I had cancer. I mean, I had to step into healing grace. I didn't understand the principles of faith like I do now. And I had to listen to God. I prayed in the Spirit, remember? Prayed in the Spirit, leaned into Him, and He started giving me verses, and He told me to go have three men pray for me, and they helped me to deal with things in my heart to draw on His grace and to walk in authority. Then a year later, when my son Michael was attacked with a sickness, I leaned into His grace, and we drew on His grace, and we immersed ourselves in His Word. And one verse out of several that we've been quoting brought healing to Michael. We got healing grace by just leaning into Him and not focusing on what we saw, not agreeing with what we saw, but agreeing with the Word. Are you with me? I mean, I could just go on and on. When God told me to start my first church, we stepped into grace to do that. And then we merged that church with another church in Houston, Texas. And then I took over a church, and I had grace to do that. And then I had grace to go through an involuntary church plant. Part of that grace was Pastor and Joy and Calvary helping us through that. But we leaned into that grace, and Pastor said, "Now you need to be here at 5:42 in the morning." For prayer times, man, I'm leaning. and I'm leaning, but I'm telling you, we were here. And, you know, a lot of other people that were going through stuff, They didn't draw on the same grace I did, and I got through. I said, I got through. And I got through overcoming. I overcame, came on the other side. I mean, I could just, it took grace for us to, when God spoke to us, He had a new assignment for us, and we had to transition our church. Do you understand? It was like a death. In the natural, that was one of the most difficult. That was harder for us to go through than the church split. Because, I mean, we were there 24 years. We gave our life there. And you know, it was like, oh, Jesus, we're leaning into You and drawing on grace. Listen, I mean, I could tell you story after story after story about how God got us through difficult times, financial times, leaning into His grace, sowing when we didn't feel like we could do it. We just gave. We gave sometimes when it hurt. But it was just, Lord, we draw on His grace, and He shows us what to do, and then He gets us through. And listen, guys, no matter what you're going through today, His grace is sufficient for you. Amen? His grace is sufficient. Yeah. For you. Say for me. Man, I could tell you so many things. I think you got the picture. He doesn't always use the same method. He doesn't always use the same verse from the Bible. He doesn't always use the same person to resource you. But as we look to Him, His grace is enough in every situation. I just want to, now I've got the airport in sight, all right? But I want you to look at a couple more verses with me. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each one has received the gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold what? Grace of God. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong glory and dominion forever and ever. So what is he saying here? Listen, guys, what you do by His grace. When you speak as if it was the oracles of God. When you're representing Him, you go and put confidence in Him. When you minister, you do it as the ability that God put in you. That's His grace. That's how you do it. That's you draw on Him when it doesn't look like you can, it doesn't look like you're able. It doesn't look like you know, people are going to agree with you. You've got the greater one inside you. Yes? And you look, and this is the point. You are not in a deficit position. You're not, it might look like you are, but you're not. You're not in a place of deficit. You're not in a place of deficiency. You're not in a place of inadequacy. He is your sufficiency. He is your grace. He is your King. He is your healer. He is your provider. You minister and you speak and you act and obey from a place of more than enough, of more than enough adequacy, of being sufficient. Say, I'm sufficient by His sufficiency. You've got His power. Say, I've got His power. His strength. His might. His wisdom. All the resources of heaven back you. 2 Kings 6, 15 through 17. The servant of the man of God arose early and went out. And there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered and said, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." The Lord opened his eyes, the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. My prayer for you today is, in the midst of your most challenging challenging situation in life, that you might see, that God would open your eyes, that you might see you are not in a place of a deficit, but rather of great abundance of resource in God's adequacy. Now, I'm speaking this very deliberately to you because that is what I'm asking God to do for you, that you would see that you're, even though in the natural you might be in a place of financial deficiency or physical deficiency or emotional deficiency or relationship deficiency, the circumstances might be screaming that you don't have enough, that you can't do it or whatever, but the deal is I'm asking God to open your eyes to see that with Him and His grace, you not only have enough, you have more than enough. Are you with me? Say, I have more than enough. One verse in closing, and we have landed. One verse in closing, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. So he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power." Pastor alluded to this today as he was sharing with us and encouraging us. "But by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts, who are you, O great mountain?" Now see, Zerubbabel had been in the middle of a building program for lots of years, I think 13 years at this time, and he hadn't been able to finish. And this mountain of doubt, and you know, he didn't appear like he was going to have enough to finish. So that's the mountain. And it says, he says, "Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone," which that's the finishing stone. That the capstone is the finish, is you know, you're going to finish what you began, right? He'll bring forth the capstone, and here's how it happens: with shoutings of grace to it. And he goes on to say, "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it." Whatever God's put in your heart, you're going to finish. But you're going to finish the same way you started. It's by grace. It's by you understanding. It was never all you by yourself. It was all Him. And you pray in this, whatever He puts in your heart, you pray in the Spirit and you lean into Him and you depend on Him and you stop looking to yourself. You embrace the Word of God. Amen. You meditate on the Word of God instead of the circumstances that say you're not going to finish, you're a failure, all that. You embrace that, and then you dive in and you serve and you engage instead of becoming self-absorbed. And I'm telling you, what's going to happen, the same thing that's happened to Janice and I over and 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 over again. I mean, we've seen it here with our pastors. Man, you go through a tornado, you go through a fire, you go through all kinds of stuff. But the bottom line is we always come out on the high side of victory, okay? Not by praying that God's going to remove people or things that are obstacles necessarily, although sometimes that might be part of the plan, but it's not going to happen without you and I drawing on grace. Are you with me? And I'm praying right now. This is my prayer for you. That you'll see you're not in a place of deficit. You're in a place of abundance. You'll see His grace is going to, yet one more time, put you over where it seems like you're going down for the count. His grace is enough for you. Amen? His grace is enough for you. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want to pray for everyone, but I want to know who it is that you've been through it in an especially challenging time, okay? And God's speaking to you through this message. You've been going through a major challenge. It could be a health challenge, could be a financial challenge, could be a relationship challenge. You know who you are. I mean, it's like you're kind of at the Red Sea in the natural. and you don't know, I mean, you got armies coming behind you, and you know, who knows, they might be coming to hawk your kids and to take your house, and I don't know what it is, but you're at a crossroads in your life. I want to pray for you first. Whoever that is, stand up. If that's you, stand up. You're at a crossroads and a major challenge. Okay. Those of you that are around them, now we're going to pray with you. I'm going to pray with you and for you, but part of the grace, listen to me, part of the grace of God to you is in relationships that He's put around you. I appreciate your humility. Okay? Part of the grace of God He's given you is here, is this church. Yeah? And so here's our brothers and sisters going through a grace challenge right now. But God's grace is enough. So I don't want to take a long time here, okay? But in just a moment, I'm going to ask those of you that are around them to stand with them in grace. But here's, first of all, we're not going to do this for you. We're going to do this with you. You've got to identify what this deficiency is, and you're going to overcome it with shoutings of grace. You're going to overcome it by speaking grace to that thing that looks like it's a mountain, the obstacle that's keeping that from happening. Are you hearing me? Do you know what it is? Do you know what that deficiency, where it looks like you're deficient? Okay? I want you to speak grace to that in Jesus' name. Are you ready? Do you know what it is? And we're gonna shout grace with you with that situation. In Jesus' name, Father, we declare the grace of God is enough and more than enough for these. And I want you, instead of me just shouting, I want you right now to shout grace to that. Go ahead and shout grace to that. Great grace, Lord. Great grace, Lord. Great grace, Lord. In Jesus' name, grace to that mountain. Grace to those obstacles. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now I want the people around them to stand and let's pray with them in Jesus' name. Father, we're asking you to open their eyes that they might see, Father, they're not in a place of inadequacy. They're in a place of great sufficiency. Open their eyes to see that, Father, there are more with them than there is the enemy that's around them. All the obstacles, all the challenges, we speak grace with them, Lord, to that mountain. Those mountains are being removed, and they shall yet finish what you put in their heart. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Now let's lift our hands and thank Him. Come on, let's lift our hands and thank Him. Let's thank Him. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for grace. We thank you for great grace. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Now, Father, I pray for this church. I pray for Pastor and Joy, the leaders of this church, and every member of this church. Lord, I pray, Father, you open each of our eyes to see the adequacy of God, the sufficiency of God, the competency of God, the grace of God that's ours. Help us to see, Father. Help us to see, Father. Help us to see what you see. I believe God's given words for businesses to be birthed in here. Yes. Ministries to be birthed in here. Thank you, Father. Lord, I just see a release of finances in this house. Lord, I agree with what I see. Father, I pray for that release. I speak a release of finances into this house, into these families, in the name of Jesus. Money's coming. Money's coming. Money's coming. Jobs are coming. Jobs are coming. Favor is coming. We're not just saying those words. It's reality, Father. You're releasing, Father. The windows of heaven are already open, and you're releasing finances to us. Man, I just see mega, mega doors and windows opening in the area of finance. Praise God. Man, Father, we thank you for those doors opening. We agree, Lord. Let it flow. Let it flood. Lord, we let it flow. Let it flood us. We receive it, Lord. We receive it. Grace, grace, grace to our finances. Grace, grace, grace to this church. Grace, grace, grace to our individual finances. In Jesus' name, praise God. Praise God. Man, if you could just see what I see. God, open our eyes to see, more importantly, what you see. Man, praise God. Somebody's been selling themselves short. God's ordained that you be a prophet to the nations, and you've been settling for less than what God has for you. You need to step up to the plate. Amen. There's someone else that you feel like you can't. As a young person here, you feel like you can't make it through college. You're not only going to make it through college, you're going to make it with honors and with scholarship money. In Jesus' name. How's that going to happen, Brother Greg? By grace. Amen. But it's, and you leaning into it. You leaning into it. And you depending on Him. And you embracing the Word instead of what your mind tells you. Praise God. There's so many things happening right now. There's someone who's got pregnancy grace all over you right now, going on inside you. Only for those married, please. If you're going to believe for pregnancy grace and you're not married, then you believe for a husband first. Just want to set it straight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, let's just thank Him as we said, okay, I want you to make yourself available to the Lord. Just tell Him, Lord, help me see what you see. Help me to see what you see for me. Help me to see, open my eyes, that I can see what your grace has for me. And I'm going to step into it, Lord. I'm going to walk in it in Jesus' name. Praise God. Amen.